looking out on the morning rain. I used to feel so uninspired, and when I knew I had to face another day,
Radio Gorgeous, created by women for women. RadioGorgeous.com. You came along to claim
it. Welcome to Gorgeous Lives and Gorgeous Reads from Radio Gorgeous. This is Nikki Bannerman at a very exciting arts and cultural event. I'm here together with stage and TV actress Victoria Moseley and poet and authoress Malaika Booker. Today we are celebrating inspiring women at the live and digital event called Phenomenal People here in Colchester. Good afternoon, ladies. So if I can start with you, Victoria, you've had amazing stage accolades from Shakespeare to Hobson's Choice and TV credits including the Warhorse Prom, Doctors and Merseybeat, amongst many more in the UK and New York. So what's next for you?
Oh, it's funny you should ask that, because in about a week's time, unemployment.
No, the way it goes for an actress. That but tonight is, you're back at the National, so I think you're being very modest.
True. No, I'm currently performing at the National Theatre doing a show called Beyond Caring, and it's a really sort of prescient piece about low-paid workers, about people who fall through the cracks of society. And I think in, you know, relation to the recent election, it's kind of actually sort of quite heightened as a consequence, and we're hoping that that's going to tour possibly internationally sort of later down in the year, because it's been quite successful. But as is the life of an actor, you're very busy for a while and then, you know, things get a bit quiet and you just have to look for the next job. But I've been very busy for quite a while, so actually a bit of a break is good.
So how did you get your first career break to be a successful actress?
Oh, well, it's interesting you say successful, because I just think as an actor, you never feel like you're successful. You never feel like you've quite made it, because you're always looking for the next job. And I sort of feel like just to work as an actress is successful, because it's such a hard career. But I mean, I trained at drama school and then left and have done lots and lots of theatre, just jobbed around, worked hard, made good contacts. And I think that's, you know, for some people it happens very quickly and they sort of become very successful in their early 20s, but I've sort of taken a longer, more sort of circuitous route. But now I'm in my kind of late 30s, I'm actually busier than I've ever been, so it's quite nice to know that sort of with age I'm getting more work as opposed to being the other way around, which often happens.
And that's how it should be, isn't it, for women? So can you give us a line, please, from one of your favourite roles?
Oh, gosh, that's interesting. Well, I recently played Banquo, funnily enough, in Macbeth.
Go on then, give us a line.
Thou hast it now, King Cawdor, glarms all as the weird women promised, and I fear thou played most foully for it.
That was actually scary. Look at me now. She was really in character, wasn't she, there? Wow, that was fantastic. So please share with our listeners today, who are you celebrating as your female inspiration?
I'm celebrating my great aunt Veronica, who is just a great woman, and she's 94. She lives in Australia, and she lived quite an exciting life, and she's inspired me to do a lot of travelling and be creative.
You just told us the fabulous story on stage, actually, this morning, which I thoroughly enjoyed. Do tell us a bit how she was worried when she lived in Liverpool, and how you were describing her wearing that resplendent gown. Just tell us a tiny bit about that.
Yeah, well, she's very glamorous, and there's this great story about when the bombing raids were happening in Liverpool, that all the family were huddled in the cellar of what became my nana's house, this terraced house in Bootle, and all the family were down in the cellar, all the kids, and she was sat up in the parlour by the piano, dressed up in her beautiful dress, full makeup, hair done, red lips. And she basically said that if I'm going to die, I'm going to die looking fabulous.
Don't you love her? And she's still around at 94, did you say?
At 94, she lives in Sydney. She still drives. She's got a great social life. If I can live like that when I'm 94, I'll be a very happy lady.
She's gorgeous. Can you sing that line that she sang when she was worried in those bombing days? And she was singing that beautiful song. Can you just sing the first two lines for us? Yeah. Is that putting you on the spot?
Yeah, I can. It's a really beautiful Irish song called Take Me Home, Kathleen. And it goes, I'll take you home again, Kathleen, across the oceans wild and wide.
Just makes you want to cry, doesn't it, hearing this? It's just beautiful.
Radio Gorgeous.
You mentioned that you studied at Guildhall, one of the world's leading conservatoires. I researched, sounds very glam, and drama schools in the world, that's world class. What would you say to other women listening on our radio station to motivate them to show their thespian talents and get on the stage?
I think the big thing now is that I was very lucky. I went to drama school on a full grant and things like that don't exist anymore. And I feel like I had a very kind of fortunate way into a proper training as an actor. But what I would say is that there's quite a lot of funding available if you just go for it. You can always make it work. And I worked like 3 jobs. I got money from Anthony Hopkins. Ooh. He gave me some money towards fees. You know, there's always ways of finding, you know, if you want it enough, you'll find a way. So don't let money be a barrier or an obstacle to becoming what you want to be.
And get friendly with Anthony Hopkins. Now, let me introduce the lovely Malaika. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Welcome. Thank you. Well, welcome. Thank you.
Pleasure. Now, you were the writer in residence for Hampton Court Palace and the first poet in residence at the Royal Shakespeare Company. That is awesome.
It is. It's impressed my mum, who always thought, writing, what kind of profession is that? I think lawyer. And then, you know, these two residencies came up and I think, yeah, she changed her mind about that a bit.
And so she should. What a great title. So you've also had a huge amount of your work published and international arts commissions. Now, what's happening next for you, Malaika?
I'm off to Leeds University. I got a job as their cultural fellow, artistic fellow. So I start in September for a year.
Congratulations.
I'll be teaching for 6 hours, but I'll also be making art, making work, and organizing things for the students and stuff. It's just like being in one space and doing everything I do in art, but in one space, in a university space with support. So I'm excited and scared.
So who are you celebrating today as your female inspiration? You mentioned this amazing story. Please tell us a bit about that.
I'm celebrating a woman called Susan Taylor, and she used to be the editor-in-chief of Essence magazine, an American black woman magazine. And basically, I came over from Guyana to England at age 11, and it was so different for me. I was bullied. It was just a different culture. And I felt so alone, and I would read a lot. And then I discovered Essence magazine. And actually, the teasing that I got in school just made me feel very ugly and just very, like, down to the bottom. And then I discovered her in a magazine. And every month, she would do these wonderful editorials. And they were just, like, words of wisdom to me. And just so she means a lot to me, yeah.
No wonder. And you're certainly very beautiful, Malaika. I don't know why you even thought of that. And that's lovely, that story that you shared. She's obviously made a huge difference. You used incredibly powerful words that, you know, the teen feelings that you had, the troubled sort of self-hate, is really how you felt.
Yeah, I think, and it was really interesting, actually, because I've always, as a writer, been trying to write about that episode in my life, and I haven't been able to. So I think having this commission, being able to write about someone inspirational, opened a little box that's so locked, that's, I suppose, I'm in a way, must have been traumatic, because I'm really an autobiographical writer and I write about everything, but that particular period I couldn't write about, which means that it was much worse than I thought it was, maybe.
Well, it's fabulous that you share that with us, because it was obviously a very painful time, but the fact that this lady actually made you feel, you know, jubilant. There were pictures of you as a gladiator, a woman, female gladiator. That's how you feel now, strong and...
Yeah, and also I feel like writing, just the idea of her, she was writing these words and she didn't know that it was, you know, that there's some girl in the middle of Britain, in Brixton, who is reading these magazines. And I would photocopy them religiously each month and put them up in my blue tack on the wall and underline the bits that I felt were important to me. And it was very interesting becoming an adult and realizing that a lot of other women in different parts of the world actually use essence for that reason. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's very inspiring. And inspiring, you know, wherever people are from the world, you know, when people feel down, there's ways to get through that. And that's a really powerful message. Now, Malaika, I found something that I online that you wrote when you actually described why you write. Now, I could read it, but I think you would give it more soul and do it more justice. Would you mind?
Writing is the best way to engage the imagination, to create magic, change the world. I write because my mother tells me I'm the first generation of women to be able to tell our stories, and because I know there are women in the world who cannot speak. I write to make sense of life, to make the ordinary extraordinary. I write to tell stories, our stories. But most importantly, I write because I cannot do anything else. If I'm not writing, then I'm not breathing.
That is incredible. It's even blown you away there, hasn't it? She was thinking, this is good. Gosh, did I actually write this?
Yes, I am. I'm reading it thinking, wow, I wrote this? I need to remember this.
You do. I'll send you a copy.
Radio Gorgeous. Pirate radio for Vogue readers.
Can you tell us what's happening in terms of Malaika's kitchen? That sounds amazing. A poet's kitchen, is that right?
Yeah, it's Malaika's poetry kitchen. So when I began to write, I began from a kind of performative space and then started to try and understand poetry as a literary space. And I found it was a closed space. I couldn't get access to people to find out how to work. And so I got this mentor to this organization, Spread the Word. And he, Kwame Dawes, he really gave us a lot of his knowledge, really. And then I realized that a lot of people that I knew would benefit from that. So it's a writer's collective. It's been going for about 14 years now. I keep saying 12, and someone the other day said 14. And basically, we meet on a Friday, and it's about craft, building craft, you know. So if anyone finds out anything, they bring it back and lead workshops. It's about building community, because writing can be so, you know, isolating. So it's about having someone to share work with and share ideas. So, yeah.
And that's London and Chicago. Can anyone come along to that?
Yeah, it's London, and it was in, one of my friends went back to Chicago and started it. So it was in Chicago for a number of years, I think about 5-6 years. Now there's like a waiting list for Malaika's Poetry Kitchen. It feels so important. So usually we have open sessions where we invite writers and they come and they check out if they like it.
Fabulous. Is there food involved in that kitchen?
Of course. I writing for me is with food. Like, you know, I do workshops in schools and I say to people, you gather the ingredients, you chop it up, and then you know, you add spice. So for me, it's Malaika's Poetry Kitchen, because it's about creating something that is evocative of the senses, which is what food does.
There's also a piece here from your book, Pepper Seed. Would you mind reading that?
It's taken from a poem called Sestina for Grenada, which was one of the hardest poems to write. I think there's like about 56 drafts of this poem. And this is an excerpt from it. You can drive around the entire island in one day, a place where lush fauna and young girls flourish. Sticks beat steel pan and a woman's waters break every minute. Sunshine sprawls heat onto curvy cliff roads, till rainy season slings in to breed trees heavy with fruit.
That's lovely, wasn't it, Victoria?
Oh, God, so evocative. Makes me want to go there.
Makes me want to cry.
Yeah, my mum's country, Grenada. It's a beautiful little paradise, yeah.
What would you say to other women to motivate them into writing, to make sure they don't leave that unsigned work in a drawer?
I think just do it. And also, understand that the writing that you hear, the published work from the writer or the performance or the play that you hear, it's been through several drafts. And the first, if you read the first draft of that Sestina for Grenada poem, you wouldn't believe what you're hearing now. So write, don't matter how rubbish you think it is on the page, the actual creation of the work comes in the editing, in the redrafting. That's when the magic happens. So I say just write and look for classes. Look for classes that will help you to grow and develop.
Fabulous. So we are here today in this live performance garden full of academics and artists, paying tribute to phenomenal and inspiring women in our lives. So ladies, how do you think the festival has gone this morning? Victoria, what do you think?
It's been really brilliant. We've had a group of school children in, which we've not had before, because we've done this event at a number of different places. And oftentimes people might bring their children and there'll be young people in the room, but it's just been great to have young women and men, young boys in, and they've been so engaged and unself-conscious, and they got up and sang a song at one point that one of the performers tried to get them involved in. So that's added a really nice element today, I think. So the room's got a really good vibe.
Lovely. What did you think, Malaika?
I worked with those school children, and I walked in and they were just so amplified. I mean, they said to me, this has changed their life. They're looking at the way they do theatre. They were excited about the shows they'd seen and really, really excited. And they've added an energy to the room. And it just felt like when I opened the door and walked into that garden, it felt like my skin got goosebumps. It felt really important to celebrate, I think, lives of women. And a really interesting thing happened last week when I work with those children. When I first walked in and I asked people, who was someone who inspired them? And if you can think of someone, a woman who inspires you. It was really hard for people to think about a woman. It was really easy for them to think about a man. And when they actually dug deep and found that woman, whether it was their mother, 50% of the class chose their drama teacher who was in the room.
Their mothers will be devastated.
But when, you know, then they started to find so many things, and by the time they read those pieces, we were almost crying. So I think it was really, because they've been engaged in the process, for them to come now and see all these adults, all these actresses and people who are professional talking about their women has actually, I think, something is really powerful in that room anyway.
Why not find us on iTunes on Radio Gorgeous, and then you can follow us forever.
They were very powerful speeches and very personal speeches that people gave. I think it really brings out our insights, creative visions and dreams, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's just the diversity of the people, actually. So you'll get a live artist, or you'll get a performer, or you'll get an actress. So every piece is 10 minutes, and then you have this 5-minute break, and you never know. It's like magic. What's going to happen next? Yeah.
Gives them hope, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's just really nice being in a very informal context, because I think sometimes going to a theatre and sitting very still for 2 hours while people talk at you, you know, that can be quite off-putting for people. But I think to be invited into a space that's very relaxed, that you can chat, you can happen to see some performances throughout the day and you can respond to them. There's the online work that you can do with the iPads where you can add your own inspirational women. So it's just, I think that's a really lovely context to celebrate women. And, you know, people sort of get scared when people talk about feminism and they go, oh, it's going to be very worthy and lots of women all sitting together. But I think in this context, it's just so welcoming and so relaxed that anyone can respond to it.
Have you nominated anyone?
I actually nominated the two women who thought up the whole project and the event, Kate McGraw and Louise Blackwell, because without them, this whole thing wouldn't happen. So, you know, I think that they're truly inspirational.
Did you nominate anyone, Malaika?
I nominated my mum, and my mum doesn't live in the same country as me. So at Christmas, when I was in New York, I actually put up the site and we read together what I'd put. And it was it's really interesting. You know, you do a project, but for it to impact on your life, my mother and I had a really fantastic conversation. She was really deeply moved to, I think we don't pay tribute to people when they're alive or when they're with us. So it allowed us to have a dialogue we wouldn't necessarily have.
That's beautiful. I must admit, I nominated my mum, and she's no longer with us, sadly. But it was that powerful that women really get behind it, don't they? So what do you think of the fact you can choose anyone who has inspired you, whether it's your granny or a celebrity?
Well, I think it's nice when it's personal, and which was why I think so many people choose their mums. But there's just so many great historical women. It doesn't even have to be a celebrity, you know. I mean, what's great as well is that there's no judgment. So I think someone's nominated someone like Kim Kardashian, you know.
Oh.
But you know, that's fine. That's great if she inspires someone. Why not? And you know, and then someone else could have a, you know, Amelia Earhart who flew across the Atlantic solo. You know, it doesn't really matter. There's no judgment. It's your response, and that's important.
Yes, exactly. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I do. We've had the Queen, Margaret Thatcher. We've had mothers. We've had grandmothers. We've had nans. We've had people who've talked about stories about someone who, you know, so it's a great-great-grand that they don't know, but it's a story that's passed down. And I think it's just amazing that you can go to this site and see all these different ways that women impact in the world and inspire from the personal and just the ordinary. I mean, first in the schools, people go, my mum, but... So my mom, I don't know what to say to actually finding something that realizing, my gosh, she does so much work for me, you know. So it's really good.
It's certainly very powerful, as you say. So what's the final message that we can take from here, ladies? Believe in yourself, is it? The impressions that we leave?
What's the final message? I don't know if there is a final message because I think it's so ongoing. I think it will just keep evolving. I just think it's great to celebrate a lot of women in the same space because we don't get that enough generally.
And you, Malaika?
I think I would say the same thing. Having done the workshops in six different schools in 2 weeks, at first it's really, really hard for people to find a woman that they want to talk about or that inspire them, and they have to work. So I think it's really been interesting seeing that reality and actually seeing this raised awareness of women's impact, the impact that women make on people's lives. And I like the fact that it's ongoing and it's democratic.
Fair enough. Yes, I think it's fabulous. And the fact it's a live performance and you've inspired everyone, both of you ladies, and the fact that it's digital and it's ongoing, people can nominate online, it's great. So is there any way that you would recommend that our listeners get in touch for even more inspiration with you, Victoria or Malaika?
Well, it would be great if some of your listeners could have a think themselves about women that have inspired them, and they can visit www.phenomenalpeople.org.uk and you can nominate a woman. You can also upload photographs. And it's just...
And you can talk to and look at other, you know, who people have nominated as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I've read about loads of women that I knew nothing about, and quite important historical women that I sort of feel like I should have known about, but because we often, you know, their stories don't always get told. So I think that's been quite educational for me.
Yeah, educational as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Super. So what are we waiting for, listeners? Get motivated. You must feel inspired. Do whatever it is today. Take those next steps. Well, ladies, thank you for inspiring us today, for your time talking to Radio Gorgeous, where women do the talking. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for coming.
This is a Radio Gorgeous production for RadioGorgeous.com and beautifully edited by Ella Gray Thomas, 2015.